People often ask me, Jared, are you optimistic or pessimistic about the world's future? I answer, I'm a cautious optimist. By that I mean that on the one hand, I acknowledge the seriousness of the problems facing us. If we don't make a determined effort to solve them, and if we don't succeed at that effort, the world as a whole within the next few decades will face a declining standard of living, or perhaps something worse. That's the reason why I decided to devote most of my career efforts at this stage of my life to convincing people that our problems have to be taken seriously and won't go away otherwise. On the other hand, we shall be able to solve our problems if we choose to do so. One basis for hope is that realistically, we are not beset by insoluble problems. While we do face big risks, the most serious ones are not ones beyond our control. Instead, they are ones that we are generating ourselves. Because we are the cause of our environmental problems, we can choose or not choose to stop causing them and start solving them. The future is up for grabs, lying in our own hands. We don't need new technologies to solve our problems. For the most part, we just need the political will to apply solutions already available. Of course, that's a big just. But many societies did find the necessary political will in the past. Our modern societies have already found the will to solve some of our problems and to achieve partial solutions to others. The environmental movement has been gaining adherence at an increasing rate, and they act through a growing diversity of increasingly effective organizations. At the same time as the environmental movement is gaining strength, so too are the threats to our environment. What are the choices that we must make if we are now to succeed and not to fail? There are many specific choices that any of us can make as individuals. For our society as a whole, the past societies that we have examined in this book suggest broader lessons. Two types of choices seem to me to have been crucial in tipping their outcomes towards success or failure. One of those choices has depended on the courage to practice long-term thinking and to make bold, courageous, anticipatory decisions at a time when problems have become perceptible, but before they have reached crisis proportions. The other crucial choice, illuminated by the past, involves the courage to make painful decisions about values. Which of the values that formerly served a society well can continue to be maintained under new, changed circumstances? Which of those treasured values must instead be jettisoned and replaced with different approaches? My remaining cause for hope is another consequence of the globalized modern world's interconnectedness. Past societies lacked archaeologists and television. Today, though, we turn on our televisions and we see what happened in Afghanistan a few hours earlier. Our television documentaries and books show us in graphic detail why the Easter Islanders, classic Maya, and other past societies collapsed. Thus, we have the opportunity to learn from the mistakes of distant peoples and past peoples. That's an opportunity that no past society enjoyed to such a degree. My hope in writing this book has been that enough people will choose to profit from that opportunity to make a difference. This is Christopher Murney. We hope that you've enjoyed this production of Collapse by Jared Diamond. This program was executive produced by Patty Peruse and produced, directed, and abridged by Garrett Scott. Collapse is a production of Penguin Audio, copyright 2005, all rights reserved. The book, Collapse, is available wherever Viking books are sold.